How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Can you feel the genuine sorrow of David's heart in this psalm of lament that we find in Psalm 13? One pastor said, "To cry is human, but to lament is Christian." I think there's a difference. And I think we need to continue to learn this. Over one third of the book of Psalms are Psalms of lament. And yet, if you look carefully at all the Psalms, over half of all of the Psalms contain at least some portion of it that is lament, where the psalmist is crying out to God while in the place of suffering, like this worship song we just sang. Lament is given to us in the Bible to not just define our pain or our suffering. That's not its purpose. There's more to it. A lament psalm is given us not just so that we can relate to it, but the laments were songs that were sung in the church. They were to show us how to deal with the real suffering and sorrow we experience. The Bible is not silent on real suffering. God has given us lament and psalms of lament as his way for us to suffer, according to his kind purpose. And in it, in Psalms of Lament, in them, God is showing us what to do with our grief and with our sorrow. I don't know how you've come this morning, but if you have genuinely suffered, you know that in the moment of suffering, it is overwhelming. In loss, you have likely felt, if you have experience genuine sorrow, you've likely felt like everything that you knew and everything you trusted is broken or is gone. Maybe even wondering if you're losing your mind. Have you ever suffered like that? A real sense of lostness, being paralyzed. You don't know what to do with your grief, or relational pain, or broken relationships, or horrendous harm that you've experienced as an effect of sin done against you. But we are given psalms of lament. And in fact, there's lots of places in the Bible, in the book of Lamentations, in the book of Job, and we see it in a lot of the narratives where people suffer in the hands, by the hands of others and the sin of others. But we are given lament so that we know how to suffer. And my prayer is that as we start to grow in this understanding as a church, that we would truly lament together. Didn't you feel it at the last two funerals we had, with the funeral for little Tobias, for John Gould? This is what we will see in Psalm 13. So I want to invite you to pray with me, and then we will look at Psalm 13 as a psalm of lament. Let's pray. Kind Father, will you gather up all of our hearts to know and to feel and to understand lament in this psalm? Would you teach us to turn to you in our sorrow, to honestly bring our complaint to you, to ask for help humbly? Will you teach us to trust? We do not pray. I do not pray for a pain-free life. But instead, I pray that you will teach us what to do with our pain and how to serve others in their pain and how to lament as you are teaching us. Please let your word create a renewed life in us. As you speak, transform and move. And again, we just simply pray, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not there yet, I do invite you to take your Bible. If you don't have one, please do open a Bible from the pew in front of you or share with your neighbor. We aren't really gathered in church to hear what the pastor might say. We want to understand what God would say. And so hear what the Lord says in Psalm 13, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Often when we read the Psalms, or when people are truly broken, we are uncomfortable with suffering. When we read the Psalms where David is crying out to God, we feel distant sometimes from the suffering. Our lives, or maybe we can't relate, or if we can relate. And I say this very intentionally, even worse, sometimes we feel justified in our anger. That our dark emotions are justified in expressing them to God, venting, without any understanding of what the godly purpose is of sorrow and true lament, what it's all about. The Psalms are honest, and they express real emotion and real despair and real sorrow. Like the intensity of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? But to only see the intensity and to only feel justified in expressing our anger at God without ever lamenting is likely only going to intensify our anger, and we will not move towards God. To lament is different. It is true despair and dark emotions and sorrow. But it is to cry out to God about our suffering and in our suffering. In fact, I think this is the key to understanding lament. There is a real pattern, biblical pattern to lament, which leads us to trusting God, and then ultimately, I would say, even to worshiping God in our suffering. Now, I do admit this seems like it's almost impossible. If you have genuinely suffered, like I described at the beginning, you might even say, well, that's easy for you to say. But I'm not saying it. I think Scripture is teaching us it. I've always wondered, maybe you're like me, I've always wondered at the words of Job. You can just listen, you know these. While he was yet speaking, there came another who said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone escaped to tell you. Then Job rose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped. How is this possible? And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. And then Job is afflicted. And it says in chapter 2, he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. And then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. And he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. I want to be very clear, and I want to give you all a serious warning. To the genuine Christian, lament is real, and it is a cry to God. But we are not justified in cursing God. We are not justified in giving full vent to our emotions and our anger and blaming God. In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He did not charge God of wrong. And yet the Psalms are filled with real, honest complaint. I'm not saying we should not be honest about the anguish of our souls, but this is something different. 2 years ago, I actually worked through this psalm, and Leon and I read this book by a pastor named Mark Vrogops. It's called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. And in that study of the Psalms, his understanding of all the Psalms that he had studied carefully really helped me. And he gave this pattern of lament. He defined lament as prayer. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. And what we see in Psalm 113, I would add that lament is prayer in pain that leads to trust, and trust leads to worship. This is Psalm 13. We don't suffer alone as a Christian. God is with us. This is real. It's not just a false positive attitude or an attempt at somehow being happy-go-lucky and avoiding pain. No, David says in Psalm 23 that in the valley of the shadow of death that he doesn't fear because God is with him. Do you understand this? God is with us in the valley of the shadow of death. He's walking through the valley. In the face of death, he is aware of God's presence. There are four primary parts to lament that we will see in Psalm 13. The first is turning to God, and then bringing your honest complaint to God, and then asking God for help, and then trusting in God. This is kind of a pattern that moves through the Psalms of lament, but we see it especially here in Psalm 13, turning, complaining, asking, and trusting. This psalm starts immediately with lament. You would say he jumps right into his complaint, his honest argument he has with God. But the place we start is to recognize that this whole psalm is a prayer. David's first step is to turn to God in prayer. And for some in extreme suffering, they would say, I can't pray. But this is the very first real sense of in our mourning and despair for the Christian. We turn to the Lord. We don't suffer alone. In the valley of the shadow of death, we turn to the Lord. We are not just trying to understand our pain and justify it. The Christian suffers. It is not just a psychological understanding of grief or what are the different stages of grief. These can be really helpful, and I'm not against it, but I'm saying the Christian is different because the Christian is not alone. The Christian is not just trying to understand his suffering, though that is good. The Christian turns to the Lord. We start with prayer. In our pain. Now, I want to be really clear. It's not this Pollyanna idea, well, just pray. It's not just praying. No, it's actually taking our pain in prayer to the Lord. It's not going to the Lord without suffering, but it is simply turning to the Lord in our suffering. Remember that definition? Lament is prayer in pain that leads to trust. It's a great definition because it shows that there is pain, there is prayer even before it's sorted out. In fact, turn to Psalm 77. I want you to turn here. This is truly an amazing description of the first step of lament is to turn to God in prayer. Look at Psalm 77, verse 1. I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I will seek the Lord. He's not waiting till he's more composed. He's not waiting till he's moved along a little bit and got his life all sorted and figured out. He doesn't even understand it, but in the day of trouble, he's seeking the Lord. Look at the very next phrase. In case you think this is just some quick little formula prayer, look what he says. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. It's in the middle of his sorrow. He's refusing comfort. But there is another thing he's refusing. Do you see it in the phrase right before? He refuses to stop stretching out to God. The first step of lament is to turn to God. This is a Christian lament. It is not sinning with our lips or accusing God of wrong or cursing God because our pain is so deep. No, we bring it to God. And we refuse to stop reaching out. We feel the same tension in Psalm 13. David begins the prayer. And he's crying out to the Lord. He does not give God the silent treatment. That's not lament. No Christian lament is turning to the Lord. Now, I say this in the honesty of my own heart. I know that I would be overwhelmed with sorrow if I lost Leona or one of my kids. I truly believe I would be lost in despair. And I might even just want to be alone. I probably wouldn't know even how to deal with this suffering. And maybe you have lost the closest person to you. And you know what I'm talking about. Then as a Christian, I would say to you, the first part of lament is to going is to go to God in the despair. You might say, I feel too weak to pray or even to face the suffering. And it might even take a while, but this is where we begin lament. We turn to God. The Psalms teach us this is the first step. Psalm 77, especially, dear friend, dear Christian, if you are suffering in this very moment this morning, or if God has ordained suffering for you and for me in the future, remember, lament. We turn to God before we have it figured out, on the day of our trouble. The second part of lament jumps right into Psalm 13. We bring a complaint to God. This is so honest. It's not venting, but it sure is honest, isn't it? Bringing the struggle to God. We're not just going to God. We go to God with our pain. Lament is often the struggle of why? Why, Lord? And if we are honest, we can find ourselves in the same place. Psalm 77 does this again. In verse 7 to 9, you can just listen. Will the Lord spurn forever? The word is reject. Will the Lord reject forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at the end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? How honest is that? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? David is expressing his feelings. He's not saying what actually is true. He's not saying that God forgot to be gracious. But this is how it really feels in real sorrow. Do you see it? In Psalm 77, verse 8, steadfast love, promises, graciousness, and compassion. In Psalm 77, he questions it all. And just like Psalm 13, we find the very same thing. David is bringing his complaint to God, and he repeats this line, "How long, O Lord?" 4 times in 2 verses. And it doesn't seem like things are getting better. In fact, as you go along in the psalm, it feels like it's getting worse and worse and worse. It feels like there's a growing sense of hopelessness. And this repeated question, it might make you feel uneasy. Why doesn't God answer? Maybe you can relate. Does it feel like my situation or my life will ever change? Will I be broken forever? And behind this question, there is a reason for despair. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? I can't get Psalm 77 out of my mind. Did God forget to be gracious? We feel what Asaph says in Psalm 77. We feel it with David here in Psalm 13. He brings his complaint to God. He doesn't just say, oh, just pray and it'll all be all right. He isn't praying for a pain-free life. He's actually bringing this to God. Have you forgotten me? But it's not the sin of his lips. He is praying about his real suffering. And this is not the first time he prayed about this problem. Look at the second question. How long will you hide your face from me? It's like David has been seeking God's face, and he feels like it's being hidden from him. He can't see this. And in the Old Testament, this is incredible. The promise of number 6, the Aaronic blessing, do you remember what it was supposed to be? The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. If you're in Psalm 13, just look across the page. We read this in Psalm 11. The Lord is righteous, verse 7. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. David is praying and nothing is happening. He simply feels like God is ignoring his situation. He's honest. He turns to the Lord and he brings his honest complaint. The third question reveals this degenerating emotional state. Do you see it? How long must I take counsel in my soul, in verse 2, and have sorrow in my heart all the day? This is crazy, but we know it's true. This is what we do. We naturally look within ourselves. We try to make sense of how we struggle. We desperately try to figure this out. And he comes to this final climax and he looks out and he sees his enemies in the third question. How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Last Sunday, we saw that at the end of chapter 12, it's the vileness of the children of men is exalted over all. Whatever the cause, there is no counsel within himself that will answer the question. I have sorrow in my heart all the day. Do you ever feel this way? Do you feel like your situation will never change? Do you ever feel like you can't understand your own emotions? You're overwhelmed and you're trying to figure it out. You're wrestling within your soul, trying to, from your own thoughts, live with sorrows that maybe you have of regret of things you've done, feeling like you're forgotten by God. Do you ever feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceilings and God has turned away his face and his ear? You can't reach him. This is the honesty of lament. It's not pretending. And maybe you haven't been there yet in your life. But one day when we are, when we lose the person the closest to us, we have this picture of lament. We turn to the Lord, and though we know it's how we feel, it isn't true that God has turned his face away from us. We know it's not true. Psalm 11 declares the upright will behold his face, but it's how we really feel. Have you ever got so far down a tunnel, for some in depression, where there is no light at the end of the tunnel? It's just all is dark. But in all of this, David still prays. You can see the real despair of his soul, and he struggles with why, and yet he turns to the Lord. He still prays. He brings his complaint to God honestly. Beloved, as your pastor, we must learn this lesson of biblical lament. The first part is to turn to God in trouble. The second part is to turn to God with your trouble. Honest complaint without sinful lips. And the third part of the psalm, there's three parts to the psalm, each by two verses. The third part of the psalm is in verse 3 and 4. And there is a shift. David asks God for help. He's not stuck in his grief. He does not have a hard heart that refused to go to God. No, Christian lament is to turn to God in prayer, to be honest about our trouble and our suffering. But it is to get to this place where we are humble and we ask, oh God, I need your help. Especially in the context of verse 2, there is no answer in my soul. There is no answer in all this counsel that I'm seeking. He asks God for help. It's like the simple prayer of the publican and the Pharisee. Remember, he doesn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He just says, be merciful to me, a sinner. But it is a cry for help. The book that I read two summers ago, he describes it as the idea of being stuck in complaint. It's like a traffic circle, he says. Even for Christians, we get stuck in, like, yes, I want to be honest with God and I come in prayer, but we struggle to get to this third step that we are taught in the lament Psalms, to ask God for help. We go around and around in the traffic circle. And yet, at every corner, there's a place where you can, an off-ramp. For some, it's years. But we are taught in biblical lament to turn to the Lord, to bring our honest complaint, but to then actually move to this humble cry for help. Look at verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Verse 3 begins with a simple request that God would see and that God would respond. The prayer itself seems to really have an effect on David's heart, because we'll see it in the end, but he's simply saying, Lord, consider, answer me, oh my God. But there's more than just a desire for God to understand. Look at the little twist that follows that very first line in verse 3. Then he asks God to give him understanding. He asks God to open his eyes. See, his complaint is, God, don't you see what I'm going through? But the problem is that David doesn't see God. And the prayer for help is, let me see, open my eyes. And he's seeking to understand. And he says, if I don't see, I will die and my enemies will mock me. There's something different in verse 3 from verse 1. Verse 1 is still a prayer and he's crying out to God in his suffering. But in verse 3, he's saying, look to me and answer me. And then he makes a personal appeal to God. There is this personal confession, which is quite an amazing statement, and you might not even see it because it's such a subtle chain, but in verse 3, in verse 1, he says, how long, O Lord? But in verse 3, he says, O Lord, my God. There is this humility, this personal confession that the Lord is his God. And even though he doesn't understand, because he still doesn't have sight to understand, he says, you are my God. And clearly this is the humility that's required in order to ask God to help us, that we would understand from his perspective. Here David is focusing on the honesty of the struggle. And he humbly comes to the Lord, his God, and he asks for help. This is the third step of Christian lament. In verse 2, he seeks his own counsel. Here he seeks God's counsel. And we are moving in the psalm. It is a prayer of desperation at the beginning. And then it turns and it's a cry to God for help. Are you struggling to trust God with something or with someone? Does the situation feel like it's beyond your control and all your counsel is empty? Does God seem silent? Does it seem like nobody understands? Then pray. Beloved, let's ask God for help. Cry out to God. That if you know him as your Lord, to humble your heart and quit trying to fix it yourself. And simply pray, help, Lord. What is amazing in the psalm is it doesn't seem like anything changes in David's situation. The storm will continue to rage around you. But we are called to lament honestly like David. To turn to God, to bring our complaint to God, to pray and to ask God for help. And then there is a fourth part to lament. And it is moving toward trust. Where does verse 5 come from? Doesn't it surprise you? When I read it this week, I thought it almost feels like verse 5 isn't a part of the same psalm. There's such a big change in verse 5. What happened between verse 4 and verse 5? If we feel the weight of the beginning of this psalm and this honest cry for God to help do something, or I will die, I will sleep the sleep of death. We could live in verse 4. But something happens between verse 4 and verse 5. And what is it? God answers David's prayer. He asks for his eyes to be opened, to see the Lord. And God does something. He produces trust and faith in the heart of those who are his. Our suffering and our sorrow may not decrease. It may not even get better. But the prayer of a humble, honest heart to the Lord, our God, will open our eyes to see the Lord. God opened David's eyes, and he answered his prayer, and he revealed himself to him. Do you see how David responds? And I did your heart not go with Pastor Elroy when he was praying and describing the steadfast love of the Lord? Look at David's response. But I have trusted in the steadfast, in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. He trusts first, and then he rejoices. This is King David. Do you remember? He says, against you and you only have I sinned. And he cries out to God for forgiveness, and he knows it. And then he can say here in this psalm, my heart rejoices in your salvation. God opened his eyes to see what God has done. And then he moves to worship. Verse 5 is a powerful confession of trust in God's unfailing love and God's deliverance and God's salvation. God opened David's eyes to see. But then in verse 6, we have a vow. It's a response of trust that I will sing to the Lord. What is there to sing about? He is singing his trust to God. He's singing about all that God has done as God has opened his eyes to see. This is lament as worship. When we lift our eyes off ourselves, and by God's mercy, he opens and enlightens us, and we can see the Lord, and we trust him, then we will worship him. 1/3 of the book of Psalms are songs of lament. I believe we're supposed to see it as worship in the church. That as the church family suffers, and as we gather, that we stand together in our suffering. And with tears going down our faces in our suffering. What may yet come, we don't know. But we stand as God's people. And we sing the songbook that God has given us. The Lord is on the throne. And we will worship him. Or we will fall to the ground like Job. Tear our robes. And we will worship. This is why lament is in the Bible. It's given to us to teach us how to suffer. We turn to the Lord when we suffer. We cry out to the Lord about our suffering and bring our honest complaint to the Lord. We don't sin with our lips as if we have any right to curse God. People who justify all kinds of evil and sin with our lips in our sorrow are wrong. That is not Christian lament. Now, we tell the truth, which God knows already, but we do this with the Lord. And then something changes. We humbly recognize that he is the Lord, my God. And we ask for help. We realize the emptiness of our own soul and the counsel in our own hearts is never going to help us be enough. So we humbly pray and we go to the Lord our God and we say, open, enlighten my eyes. And when we see the Lord, we trust him. And when we trust him, it leads us to worship, even in our suffering. One of the most amazing verses in the book of Job comes from chapter 13, where Job says, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's Christian lament. We need to learn this. Beloved, if you are suffering, or if you will yet, by God's ordained plan, suffer. Remember Psalm 13. And sing to the Lord in worship. Will you join me in prayer? Father, I have known so little bit of suffering in my life. Oh yeah, I've been disappointed and accused and hurt by others. I can come up with all kinds of reasons, but ultimately, for all of us, I would pray that we would understand lament. that we would turn, complain, ask, trust, and worship. And even now, as we share communion, let us hear the words of Jesus in the Psalm of Lament, in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken, so that all who place their trust in him might be accepted. As we share your table, the Lord's Supper, be pleased, Lord, in our worship, I pray. Amen. I just want to say a few words about communion. Our communion table, the Lord's Supper, is open to all, regardless of whether or not you're a member of First Baptist Church or not. But it is a Christian table. It's only open to those who are truly Christians and confess Christ. 1 Corinthians tells us to examine ourselves. Otherwise, we drink or eat condemnation unto ourselves. We come with an honest heart. So as we come, we also want to take communion together. If you have children in Sunday school, I invite you to collect your children and bring them back so they can see what we're doing. And though they maybe can't confess Christ and they observe, you can still teach them. But we'll come to the front, we'll receive the bread and the juice, and we'll take it back to our seats so we can partake together. I want to invite Kelvin and Vicki Norris to come up, and I will serve them immediately. I would like all of us to remain seated so that Kelvin and Vicki can serve those who have struggles with mobility. You see this every Sunday, and I think it is really beautiful that we can serve one another. So we'll do that first, and they will hold their bread and their juice as well. And then once we're done, then all of those who serve with me will come up and we'll serve together. So just remain seated and let's sing Psalm 13 as a lament and worship.